like your music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing on this evening? It is the fifth month of the year. We are in the month of May. It is May 1st, 2024. It's a Wednesday evening, and I'm here. Late start because I had to get the show ready, get the show going, and all that good stuff. But I'm here, and we're going to talk some basketball, NBA playoffs and stuff. So what is happening in these playoffs? I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I'm enjoying the hell out of these playoffs. I'm really enjoying the playoffs. Like, I'm enjoying what's going on. I'm enjoying the action. I'm loving seeing how teams are counterpunching each other and stuff like that. Now, we did have three series close over the weekend and this week already. Three series closed out. Other series, other teams who had a chance to close series out, failed to close them out. I'm getting all that, okay? Getting all that on this lovely day for talking basketball. But first and foremost, I got to go around the harbor because we have a lot of news from the NBA and the WNBA, okay? So let's go around the harbor. And to begin with the round of hardwood, Kristaps Porzingis will be sidelined for a few weeks, several weeks, with a calf strain injury. That may not be a big blow for this series against the Miami Heat, but moving forward, whether it's the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic, that could be a problem. Whether it's the Milwaukee Bucks, Indiana Pacers, Philadelphia 76ers, or the New York Knicks in the conference final, that's a problem. How long is Kristaps Porzingis going to be out? We do not know. But the fact that he will be out is very problematic. It is something that you need to take to account, something that you need to keeping it back in your head if you see Boston struggle in any series, because Kristaps Porzingis is not there to man the middle and be another threat on the offensive end for the Boston Celtics. Which, by the way, they still got Jason Tatum.
About a team that is
they still got Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They still got all the stars there, right? Who had a big game in the last game that I'll get into later on. But just keep that in mind. Kristaps Porzingis gonna be out for several weeks with a calf strain injury. Speaking of that Heat series for the Celtics, Miami Heat has ruled out Ricky Hiquez for game 5 hip injury. So there'll be no Hiquez. Still no Butler. We haven't got word on Terry Rozier. So yeah, it looked like this could be the end for the Miami Heat. Look like they might be down 3 players going into game 5, going into TD Garden. And this could be the end of it. Especially without Jimmy Butler on the court. No word on Terry Rozier. And now you got Hiquez out. That's not a good thing for the Miami Heat going into game 5. Next note in news we have, Kawhi Leonard was ruled out yesterday for game 5 tonight. This will be the third game he is missing this series, which could be good for the Clippers. I mean, it could be good. They've been 2-0 without Kawhi Leonard. Maybe the team plays better without Kawhi Leonard. I don't know. I'm just saying. Could be a good thing. But we shall see when I get to the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers series a little later on in the show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready for my next news and notes, a man who is joining me who has been a very good man to me. He doesn't sugarcoat anything with me, which is what I expect most about him. He tells me how it is because he wants me to grow in this business of sports media. So for the first time joining Shooting Lights Out, I call my big brother, Mr. Eric Wilson.
What up, homie? What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. How you doing, man?
It's been an amazing day. Hey, I'm blessed. Just did some work with the WNBA, and I'm glad to finally get a chance to chop it up with you on your show like you do on my show, bro.
Yeah. So we're gonna get to some WNBA news in this segment here around the hardwood. But right now, the Knicks will be without Bogdan Donovan for the rest of these playoffs as he's getting surgery. On this, it says foot, but I believe it's foot and hand. I think he got two different surgeries he needs.
Wow. Okay.
So he's out. And we'll get into the Knicks a little bit later because they let one go. I'm just going to put it like that. They let one go.
The Sixers let one go in game two, and I was sitting here I almost broke my television. So, you know what? What goes around comes around.
Funny thing, somebody else said that too, but I'll build that later on when we get to that. So, yeah, Bogdan Donovich, he is out for the rest of the playoffs. There's a lot of injuries going on in these playoffs. Wolves head coach Chris Finch having surgery after the collision he took when his starting point guard Mike Conley collided with him after being fouled. Put that in there. After being fouled. No word on when he would be back. Obviously, there was one of the teams over the weekend who had a chance to close the series, and I'll let you know if they closed it out or not later on. But hope Finch can come back, be with his team to continue their playoff run.
Listen, that's a team that, a lot of people need to be concerned about.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know. I know. Now let's get to the WNBA real quick. Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no question about these two.
Well-deserved by both of them. Maya Moore officially retiring, hasn't played in a while, but one of the greatest to ever play the game, be on the court, both on the college world and in the W. I'm excited for her. I'm glad that she's getting it. And same with Simone Augustus, two phenomenal women paving the way for women like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, Paige Buchers, and the rest.
Well said by the man who covers the WNBA.
I know a little something, just a little bit,
All right. And then this news might have been bittersweet for one person. As Chelsea Gray of the Las Vegas Aces, the defending champ Las Vegas Aces.
Back-to-back defending champions.
Got a contract extension. Great for her.
No but surprise I did, there.
I did say it might have been bittersweet for her because just before she got her contract extension, this happened. Candace Parker, as most people call the real CP3, is officially hanging them up. She is retiring from competitive basketball. And, I know my man here, Eric, he covered Mrs. Parker for quite a while. But before I let him get into it.
2 years.
2 years. I know. That's what I said. Three-time WNBA champion, 2016 WNBA Finals MVP, two-time WNBA MVP, seven-time WNBA All-Star, seven-time first-team WNBA. I mean, you see the list. She don't won national championship. She don't led the women to Olympic goals in the Olympics. I mean, she has done it all. So, my man, Eric Wilson, got to cover Miss Candace Parker when she played for the Chicago Sky, one of the three teams she bought a WNBA title to. So I'm going to give him the floor to speak on Candace Parker.
I mean, man, what really can be said that hasn't already be said? 16 years in the league, one of the things that Candace always said, and I've had the privilege of having the interview with her, is she never wanted to cheat the game. She always wanted to do right by those that paved the way for her, and she wanted to leave the W in a better position than when she found it. A consummate professional through and through, a woman who always was authentic, always spoke who she was, knew the game, knew how to represent the game of basketball, of women's basketball, on the collegiate level, also in the W. There's nothing more that really needs to be said except thank you to Candace Parker. You know, I was blessed to be there when she did bring the WNBA championship to Chicago. And I talk about this so much with regard to what not only has she done, but all the women who have paved the way. But since we're talking about Candace here, always was on her grind from day one. She knew what she wanted to do. And it's a blessing to have been simply in her presence. But the WNBA is better because of having Candace Parker in it. And I'm like I said, I'm grateful and I'm humbled to be able to sit here today and talk about the fact that one of the greats, I had the privilege of being around and just seeing her energy and what she did for every team, whether it be the Sparks, whether it be the Chicago Sky, or whether it be the Las Vegas Aces. Candace Parker played her role efficiently and effectively, and that's why she is excellent head to toe.
All right. That is the word for Candace Parker. First ballot Hall of Fame, I don't care. She's going straight into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
I had the pleasure of following Candace Parker's journey from Tennessee. When she was coached by Pat Summitt, that team, I loved that team. And which is odd for me to say because everybody knows who my team is when it comes to college. But I was a fan of Pat Summitt, Candace Parker, and the Tennessee Lady Volunteers. So when they got the chance to win some championships over, you know, that team up in Connecticut, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. Because, you know, it's around that time, you know, Eric, it's around that time we can't sing tired of Gino winning. Like, can you get somebody else, please? Listen, at one point, Candace Parker stopped him.
You can't ignore what Gino has done and is doing. But, yeah, like you, it is nice to see, you know, the Dawn Staleys and South Carolinas of the world, the Kim Mulkeys and the LSUs of the world. It's nice to and it's great for the world of college women's basketball when other teams are proving their worth and their ground. But you can't ignore the legacy that exists of Gino, and Gino's still there. I mean, listen, Paige Buecher's coming out next year to the W. Let's see what she does this year at UConn. Because, again, it just speaks to the pedigree of Gino Auriemma. But you're right. Every once in a while, it is nice to – but sometimes, you know, what do we say? And you and I are huge wrestling fans. Hey, I'll coin the phrase, to beat a woman, you got to beat the woman. Feel me? Like, that's just how it is. So – in Gino's case, to all the other coaches out there, hey, to be atop of the mountain, you got to beat UConn. And we're starting to see that.
Hey, one of my friends going to get me for this, but I'm so glad he ain't here than when you said that. Because he would have went in. I'm so happy. Yeah. He going to get me for that. But it's all
that's fine. As I always say, I ain't a hard man to find, bro.
No, I'm not saying. I know how he is. When anybody brings up that reference, he goes that route. I'm like, here we go. I got to reel him back in. So, but that's around the hardwood. All right. When we come back, we're going to dive into some playoff action because, whew, these playoffs, say what you want about the regular season. And I was wondering who joined the party. But these playoffs have been great. So, when we come back, we're going to dive into it.
Free Network presentation.
I want to do a TED Talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, W-I-Z-E.
Are you in a life-holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast. Live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Get Mouse Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus, such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, and the hit series Halo. The new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun, action-packed adventure for the whole family, and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99, but if you subscribe today, you'll get a free trial. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shining the Lights. I got my brother here, Eric Wilson, from the sports arena joining me. And got through the round of hardwood. Now it's time to talk playoff basketball. Now, to begin, I'm doing a little bit different than how I normally do it. Because first thing I'm going to do, we're going to go to the Close Them Out series. Series that are done and over with. And they are all on one side of the bracket. So let's go to it. Over to the Western Conference. Game four between the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves down in the valley known as Phoenix, Arizona. And 122-116 was the final score. I mean, pretty much Minnesota did whatever they wanted to do. If you don't believe me, look at it. I mean, Anthony Edwards did 40 points in a closeout game. 40 points to close out the series. And that man's like, I'm not having this. And then, you know, McDaniels gave you 18. Carl Anthony Towns gave you a double-double 28 and 10. You know, you ain't getting much from Rudy Gobert, but you ain't need much from him. Obviously. And honestly, Devin Booker, for once, didn't go out like a chump and actually showed up for a closeout series. He dropped 49. Kevin Durant dropped 33. But there's somebody that's in a red box right now. That person is Bradley Beal. 9 points. 4 from 13 from the field. 1 from 5. And you fouled out, too. If I'm not mistaken, this is the man who was at the press conference after losing game 3. I never been swept. I'll be damned if I get swept in game 4.
He shouldn't have said nothing. That's what happens when you open your mouth. You know, listen, you and I have been around basketball for many years, my brother. A lot of times momentum will carry a team only so far. You have to put in the work. And Phoenix just, you know, you go back to all these games, like 120 to 95 to end game 1, 105 to 93 ending game 2. It just seems like every time Phoenix wanted to move forward, they wanted to progress, Minnesota was like, no, you just stay right there because we got something for you. We're going to let you know. And, I mean, you talk about Rudy Gobert only putting up 9 points and you didn't need a lot from him. Well, I'm sorry. Conley only put up 10. So, I mean, you know, what was the mindset of Phoenix? That's my question, because usually in do-or-die situations, much like what this was, everybody elevates to that next level. Everybody brings out the best of the best because they understand. And shout out to my man Tyrese Maxey for saying, I'm in survival mode. That's what Phoenix was in. They was in survival mode. And it just seemed like they were like, no, we already got booted off the island, bro. We just somebody, here to collect it. I mean, I looked at this game.
Somebody didn't join that party.
I'm sorry?
I said somebody didn't join that party, and he was the one who got the quote from game 3.
I'm telling you. Like, did someone not pick up his tab the other night, and he got mad and said, well, I'm not playing for y'all because y'all didn't. I mean, really? Like, it just – it's crazy how – you know, Devin Booker, like you said, put up damn near a 50-piece. KD was KD. Where was the supporting cast? What happened? Y'all just let Minnesota come into y'all's house and say, no, you can't play on your PlayStation 5. We taking over. Give us all the controllers. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Cut it out. So a lot's going to be talked about during this offseason. With regard to the Phoenix Suns, I'm curious. But to Minnesota, congratulations. You move it on to that next round. Best of luck to you.
See, otherwise, I'll be focusing on Kevin Durant. But since Bradley Beal decided to open his mouth after game 3, and then the 9 points, really? I'll be there if I get swept. You were there. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another time I'll get to Kevin Durant, but not today. Bradley Beal, you deserve this one. All right. Next up, obviously, Oklahoma City Thunder. They took care of business. They swept the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, they didn't have Zion Williamson, but that's not my issue. You know what my issue is? Because I got another guy that's in the red box, Brandon Ingram. Now, I get it. You was coming back from injury, but you played in the play-in. That's the first thing to get you back. Game 1, you didn't show up. Game 2, you didn't show up. You ain't show up none in this series. You're the second option on the team. Zion's not there. That makes you the first option. And yet again, 10 shots in game 1, 10 shots in game 2. I think you took like 12 in game 3. You only took 14 in the elimination game. Where you at?
They still looking for him. They still look. The series is over. They on Bourbon Street. They in the Beignet house. They at the voodoo shop. They trying to find Ingram. And they still can't. But again, when you look at what SGA's been doing this season, man, this to me was I could have told you this was going to happen. As they say, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles could have told you this was going to happen. OKC's on a different level this year.
They are. I do not disagree. I need Brandon Ingram to put some type of
fire. Listen, I'm right there with you. But like you said, when you only shooting 10 to 14 times a game and you ain't putting up no numbers, like something is not right. Something is definitely wrong. And you knew going in Zion wasn't going to be your guy. But look, McCullough gave you 20. Valanciunas gave you 19. Like Ingram, do your part. Do your part this entire series, not just one game. Do your part. I mean, but like I knew this was going to happen. This to me was just par for the course.
Now, before my big brother gets on out of here, I got to get to him with this one.
Oh, Lord.
The Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets are in game five because LeBron James decided not to go to Cancun a couple of days early. Nevertheless, my man Jamal Murray said, no, you going to Cancun, right? Jamal said, y'all going. I'll be damn if I'm going back to L.A. for a game. He said they, but see, here's the crazy thing. Jamal Murray is the only guy to have two game winning shots in a single series. Game two, he busted y'all butt, which completed a 20-point comeback, by the way. And then this game, when people thought he wasn't going to play, he sent y'all home. LeBron, he 39-11. No problem. I'm not going to harp on you. Anthony Davis, you was the man of consistency for the Los Angeles Lakers. The fact that Joker was busting you and you was giving it right back to him.
Which is what we wanted to see. We needed to see that from him. We needed to know, was Anthony Davis that big man? And in the moment, granted, it did not go his way, but he played. And like you said, the word you use, and I'm glad you used that word, he was consistent because that's all we ever wanted from him. We know LeBron going to get his, but we needed Anthony Davis to be consistent, and he was. But again, I go back to the supporting cast. Y'all are playing with one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball. And y'all don't get hype and y'all don't get live for a playoff game? Y'all barely got in the playoff game. That is one of the worst records I think I've ever seen for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know they've had some bad years. Don't get it twisted. But aren't the Lakers predominantly, at the very least, a 50-win team? 47-35? And granted, we factor in injury and we factor in load management and we get all of that. But what I'm trying to understand with this is when you have a guy at 39 years old, playing at such a high level, and you have others on the team who are 5-10 years younger than him, but LeBron is still outworking you, that's a problem. You know what I mean? That'd be like real talk. Like, Playmaker, I ain't never asked you this. How old are you?
32.
Okay. There's 15 years difference between me and you, bro. 15. Okay. If I'm outworking you at 47, there's a problem. Especially if we on the same team and our goal is a ring. Our goal is a championship. Our goal is to be the team that people have put us on paper to be. And I'm outworking you and I got 15 more years. That to me just does not equate to winning. Something is wrong in the discipline era. And most importantly, like you said to start this, I ain't putting nothing on LeBron. LeBron, you did what you were supposed to do. AD, you was consistent. Where the hell were the rest of y'all at?
I mean, where you want to start it? I mean, D-Lo did. He had a hell of a game, too. And then came home for game three in the week. Did you just take seven shots and didn't make none of them? Like, really? Like, you have a zero stat on your line? Really, D-Lo? Austin Reed, where were you for? Where were you in the first two games? Rui, where were you at? Yeah. And by the way, speaking of that, I got to give love to Michael Porter Jr. This man had to sit here and go through his brother being banned from the NBA for being stupid. His other brother getting arrested. And this man just came out here and bust LA behind. That man scored 20 in all four and all five games. He was in the 20s.
But that's what I mean about the discipline. Michael Porter Jr. took all that outside distraction and he internalized it and said, okay, someone fitting to get this. Someone fitting to feel this. Because I got to now take that off of my plate for the time being because I got to focus on winning. But what he did was he internalized all it, put it right back into his game and said, no. I'm going to release this energy and I'm going to release it on the Los Angeles Lakers.
Like I said, if Michael Porter Jr. becomes that third option, everybody in trouble.
Yep. Yep. Mic drop. Yes, they are. And they were. So.
You already knew what you're going to get for Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray's out here averaging like 22 points a game? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's a problem. And then every once in a while, you can get a 2015 piece from Aaron Gordon. Because that's a little layer to it. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Who do you see beating them four times?
Right now, the only team I see, well, up until this morning, I would have said Boston. But with Porzingis going out, I don't see anybody right now.
Even when they healthy, they like to play around.
I just think that matchup Boston Denver is one that everybody wants to see. And if Porzingis comes back for that, I think it's going to work. What I will say to you though is this: right now, whether it be OKC or whether it be Minnesota, whoever faces Denver, well. I'm trying to think. The next matchup, the next round is going to be
Denver and Minnesota.
Yeah.
That begins Saturday.
Oof. Minnesota, well, you better rest up because it's going to be something.
So before I let my bro get out of here, I'm going to let him speak on his Philadelphia 76ers real quick because they survived in Madison Square Garden.
Hey, when it comes to the Garden, you know that is – the Mecca. That is the arena. If there is ever a place for a person to have their name etched in the history books, it is at MSG. What Tyrese Maxey did in that game, game five, was truly something to behold. And you know what? I don't say this very often about the 76ers, even though I support all Philadelphia teams, but thank you. And please, 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 Philly fans, as Dr. J, one of the greats, posted on social media, everybody in Philadelphia needs to be at the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow. Don't you dare let a Knicks fan get into the Wells Fargo Center, okay? They ain't coming into our playpen. They ain't coming in our jungle gym. That's our house. We need to go in there and tear the roof off for game six. Joel Embiid is playing on a hobbled leg. Tyrese Maxey is proving that he is going to be the guy. The momentum that happened last night at MSG, when that team had a 5% chance of winning that game with 20-some seconds left on the clock, and then Tyrese Maxey said, no. If I'm going down, then damn it, I'm going down doing it all. And yes, some calls went his way. But again, like I said when I started this show today, game two should have been a Philadelphia 76ers win, and it didn't happen. Game five, for all intents and purposes, should have been a New York Knicks win, and it didn't happen. Let's see what happens on Thursday night. But I promise you this, if we go to a game seven Saturday night in Madison Square Garden, and mind you, this is the first round. The first round. Whichever team wins this series is going to give Boston some hell. That's all I'm saying.
All right, that's my brother Eric Wilson joining in real quickly with me to talk some NBA basketball. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you coming on.
Always, brother. Always love. Shameless plug, make sure you come check me out in the Sports Arena, man, because as the season goes and the playoffs go, and then, of course, when the W starts rocking and rolling, I'm going to need to hear from the playmaker.
He going to hear from me because he didn't even mention the Olympics, and you know I'm covering that.
Oh, that's right. Hey, much love to you, brother. Hey, 2028, 4 years, L.A., we going to do it big. But as I told you before, man, keep doing your thing, my brother. And I already told you, come February, you know where you're going to be, right?
Sound like a Big Easy party, huh?
Okay. Much love, my brother. I will holler at you. Stay blessed. I'll talk to you.
All right. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more playoff action.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Cowboys Talk.
The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved. Let me say that one more time, because you know it's true. The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved.
Dak Prescott is overrated and he shouldn't be paid, okay? And the same thing with Pollard. I mean, Pollard breaking the tackles at that 57-yard touchdown run. I mean, we needed that big time.
33 points in the fourth quarter. Let me say that again. 33 points in the fourth quarter. And that's off of four turnovers committed by the Colts. See, at one point, and the fact that at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-19, and the final score was 54-19. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that is completely unexpected.
Cowboys Talk is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Oh, yes. The tradition, the pageantry, the spectacle, the history, the slut. Wait. I gotta rep my brother's stuff right. All my DMV soldiers, stand up! And welcome to the Commander's Gridiron Report. You want your commanders to be repped right? Well, D. Willie is your man. Commander's Gridiron Report. Every Monday at 3.05 p.m. Eastern, 2.05 p.m. Central. Exclusively on the Sertoba Media YouTube channel. Music by J. Cool.
Where my soldiers, right side, right side. Commanders. Where my soldiers, left side, left side.
Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We will see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say lend playmaker your ears. As he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come. To know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here on this Wednesday evening. It is the 1st of May. We are in the 5th month of the year already. And the funny thing is, y'all seen my big brother Eric wasn't on here. Now I got another person who was joining me. And it's so funny when he joined me because his commercial was the last one that you saw. In about an hour and 45 minutes from now, he will be doing his show, what he always do on a Wednesday. So for all my Philadelphia Eagles fans, tune in to play college sports because Eagles Elite is on deck. And the man behind the show, he is the host. He is my co-host on Monster Wrestling. Y'all have seen him before. That is Mr. Cool McCain.
What it do?
I'm glad you made it.
Yes, sir.
You did miss my conversation earlier. So I'm going to give you the floor right now because that graphic behind you did everybody a favor on Monday night. So since I already talked about it with my brother, Eric Wilson, I'm going to give you the floor real quickly to gloat.
Well, man, it's not too much really to brag about, honestly. I know a lot of people are appreciative that we went ahead and took care of the Lakers. A lot of people are disappointed that we didn't do it before. It took 5 games. Oh, but I just simply say, man, it was part one of a bigger picture. Right, as a Nuggets fan, beat the Lakers, cool. We got the win. Not upset about it or anything like that, but we got some bigger goals. That repeat is in our sight. So right now, even though it's cool that we got that win, it's more about getting back to the ship and winning that. But I will say it felt good to send LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the rest of the Lakers to Aruba, Cancun, or wherever they're going. Because, you know, Chuck want to send them somewhere else. But happy that we got the win, man. Happy we got a little bit of rest between now and Saturday. looking forward to the series with the Timberwolves. And hopefully we do the same thing then. Get them up out of here in like 5 games, maybe 6, you know. Keep rolling. Keep pushing toward the goal, man. That's the big thing. You know, the series is great, like I say, but bigger picture. We trying to get back to back. We ain't never had one before last year, so why not go ahead and get 2 in 2 years? You know what I'm saying? Let's get it.
All right. So if he's free to join me Friday, we'll be previewing the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's going to be a fun series to watch. The way that man Anthony Harris, and y'all heard me talk earlier with Eric Wilson, Anthony Harris could have won 40 piece in the closeout game. That's how serious he put a 40 in the closeout game.
That's a bad man, no doubt about it.
So now we got to the closeout series. All right. Most of those took place in the West. Now this I was doing them things differently, right? So instead, we're going to somewhat preview tonight's game with a little recap from the last time they faced off. So let's jump into it. Now, tonight, doublehead on TNT, 7:30, Miami Heat, Boston Celtics. Boston is trying to finish this thing off. And if you heard me earlier, I don't know, Cool wasn't here. So Porzingis is out. He's going to be out for several weeks with that calf strain. We already know Jimmy Butler is out. We don't know if Terry Rozier is going to be available. And we found out today that Hawkins would not be playing for Miami. So that's 3 offensive guys not in for Miami. So it can be safe to say that Boston, if they don't play around like they did in game 2, they can go ahead and get Miami up out of here and handle business. That's at 7:30. And then after that game on TNT, who wants the critical 3-2 lead between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers? No Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers, but it might not be a bad thing, as we saw the previous 2 times they didn't have Kawhi Leonard. Now, before we preview those games, let's dive into what happened last time they faced off. Beginning with the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Last time they faced off, Boston walked down to Miami. They said, you know what, we can take both these games in Miami. We messed around in game 2, let y'all beat us in our own building. You had to get all the backlash, everything that had to come with us. So we took it down to Miami, and we handled business. Now, we did lose Porzingis. That's all good. We still got that dub. Derrick Wright went in. 38 points from Derrick Wright. I mean, you're already dealing with Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown, and all of a sudden, Derrick Wright is starting to drop. damn near 40 on you. You ain't winning. This, I'm just going to play it plain and simple. If Derrick Wright out here is putting up buckets, you ain't beating Boston. I'm sorry. He does not beat Boston. You know, I mean, Bam Adebayo had 25 to 17. What more can you ask me? Tyler Hero, you gave me 19 points, but what was the point guard at like he was in game two when you gave me a 20 and a 14 piece on Boston? What was that at? 19 is great, but only four assists is like, bruh. You don't have Jimmy Butler. You have to do more. You have to do more. And you're not doing more. You can't. What did Shaq always say? Whatever you give me in a regular season, I need 2 to 3 times as better, right? You're not getting that from Tyler Hero. You had it for one game, and the Miami Heat won. And stunned everybody. But you ain't giving me. I need more. So now, tonight's game. For my betting people out there, 13.5 favorite for the Boston Celtics. Last time they was this much favorite at home, this is when Miami caught them. I think it was 14.5 in game two when they got caught. Now it's 13.5 in game five at home. Nevertheless, we shall see. A lot of injuries in this series, but we shall see. So, cool. Is it time for Boston to go ahead and get this over with and be done? Wipe their hands clean.
If you're Boston, you definitely want to get this done. I think it's time to get this done. I will say this. I know you want to give Tyler Hero the work for not showing up. Tyler Hero is not a one. He's a two. So we're asking a two to step up and be a one because the one is not there. He's not capable. I know Shaq want people to step up in the playoffs. Number one, to me, Tyler Hero is not really a point guard. So one problem is you got Tyler Hero having to play point guard because of the injury to Terry Rozier. So you got a guy really kind of playing out of position. Let's be real. So you're the focal point of the defense now. When you're normally the second or third guy the defense is looking at, you're the guy. When the defense come down and set up, everybody on defense is identifying where Tyler Hero at, right? So there's that. So it's a lot more that comes, and I get like wanting people to do more in the playoffs, but when you go from being a guy that's getting the second or third best defender on the team to the guy that's always the focus of the defense, you could only have one game like he did. And not only did they need Tyler Hero to have that game to win, they had to shoot a pristine percentage from three to win that game. I don't think Miami is capable of doing that again. Can you replicate what you did to win that game? I don't think you can. And anything less than that would be uncivilized and it's going to send you home. And I think that's what we get tonight. Boston, go ahead, handle business, stop playing around, knock them out. You lost the game. It is what it is. It's hard to sweep anybody. We know that. That's why you don't see a lot of sweeps. That's why we kind of really, that's what the whole gentleman sweep thing came from. You don't get a lot of teams getting beat four games in a row. Unless you're the Lakers playing the Nuggets. You don't get a lot of teams
getting beat just at two in the West, so I mean.
So I'm just saying, you know, it's time. Handle your business. Get you a break. Start focusing on the next round. When your coach start telling you how to do dumb stuff, just don't listen to that, man. Y'all know better than that. Don't play. Get this dub.
You ain't Boston. You're home. Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown. Take a pace from Anthony Edwards, which is crazy saying because y'all been in the league longer than Anthony Edwards. But he looked like he wanted more than y'all too. He looked over that side. He seen Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal said, guess what? I'm sending y'all asses home. Correction. In y'all own damn building.
Correction. He looked over there and see Kevin Durant and two dudes that don't show up, but one showed up one game, the other one like he ain't been in the series. And he said, we got this. He said, I even got Mr. No Show showing up for games for me.
That man went in there and dropped 40 and said, gotta get win. Y'all ass up out of here. Y'all own building. Your own building. Get your ass up out of here.
It'd be like now, that.
I already talked about Bradley Beal, so I'm not going to reiterate what I said earlier, but I mean every single word. Don't open your mouth again. That's all I got to say. But yeah, Boston, I like mine, you know. I love Coach Spokes, but hey, Boston, go ahead and wipe your hands clean. Get them up out of there. Go ahead, focus on the next round. Let's call it what it is. Because if you got to go back to Miami for a game six, you're making it worse on yourself. So go ahead, handle business tonight, get it over with, and be done.
Hey, you got hurt players. So you know what I'm saying? Give them a few extra days to rest. Give yourself some time to figure out how to play without those guys that need be for a game or two in the next series. You know what I'm saying? Get right.
I mean, and Miami going to be about three players most likely. Three starters. There's no excuse, Boston. There's no excuse for Miami to walk in there and beat y'all tonight. There's no excuses. So handle business. That's the first of the dub. The next game, this one finna be a fun one. Dallas Mavericks, Los Angeles Clippers, game five at the Crypto.com Arena. Before we get to that, let's get to game four. 116-111. The Clippers did it without Kawhi Leonard for the second game of the series. Playoff P showed up in Dallas, 33-6-8. James Harden showed up, 33-6-7. Now, I do have a little core. I got to have a little core. I got to, because this is what I need. How in the blue hell did you assholes have a 31-point lead and you let Dallas get back in the game? When I talk about Boston playing around, you was up 31, and you let them come back to make it a tight game. That's my problem with y'all. But like I said, Playoff P showed up, gave me 33-6-8 to finish off the deal. Kyrie, 40 points. Luka with the triple-double of 29-10-10. It's 2-2. It's 2-2. Cool. Game five is at the crypt. Is at the crypt. How you feeling?
So, I mean, you know, I've been saying Clippers the whole time. I've never wavered from Clippers, even when they were down. I told them, like, you just got to go handle your business. Thing with the Clippers is you are the more talented team from top to bottom, even without Kawhi. That's the truth. But you have to go out there and execute for four quarters. And to answer your question, you know how they came back from being down 31 points? Nobody keeps their leads no more. We don't have a generation of players now that put their foot on the other team's throat and hold it down no more. We don't have Magic Johnson type guys. We don't even have Vince Carter, Allen Iverson type cats in the league no more. Mentally, they're just not like that. They get up, they get comfortable, they start going out there playing around, not focusing, not having that same intensity it took to get that lead. So then the other team, like, we about to try to come back and make this a game. This is a recurring problem for everybody, including your reigning and defending champions, whose logo sits behind me and on my hat. They do the same thing. The only problem is they do it in the first half. So they one of the teams that got to do the coming back. You got to start going out there for four quarters when you really want to win and dominate another team. Teams are not doing it anymore. Anybody ever gets back to that? If any one team, I don't care who you are. I don't care if your team didn't even make the playoffs this year. Guarantee you, you could cut this, you could clip this, you could replay this, whatever you want to do. If a team decides to go out there and be dogs for four quarters on offense and defense, they win the ship. That's real talk, because no one is going to match that energy. Nobody matches that energy in the NBA today. There ain't no, we going hard for four quarters, leaving on the floor, and we're going to do it again the next time we play. The next game, we're going to do it again. The next game, we're going to do it again. So, with that being said, the Clippers are a bunch of older heads, right? The main players on the team is older heads. So y'all need to get together and say, hey, man, we got to take these boys out while we got them on the ropes. If the Clippers win this game, and I believe they will, they put themselves in the driver's seat to win the series, because you have two opportunities to close out. Dallas loses this series. Dallas has got to win the next two games. All the pressure's on them to win the next two games. Now, obviously, game seven, pressure switches to everybody, but with the way the Clippers let themselves get put in a hole, this clearly feels like a seven-game series to me. But I think the Clippers take tonight. They've used to playing without Kawhi Leonard. At this point, they're used to playing without him. It's not like, oh, no, Kawhi playing. It's like, oh, Kawhi will actually play? It's kind of reversed in my mind when I'm talking about Kawhi Leonard at this point. So Clippers should handle business, but we're going to see what happens when the game actually starts.
So as my monitor, as my co-host said, It's another series I'm gonna get to where if you had the lead in that series, you're pretty much winning. So I'm gonna tell you about that series a little later. But Clippers, you're home. You're the underdogs because ESPN Bet says 2.5 favor of the road team Mavericks. Which tells me they don't trust y'all. Which includes Kawhi Leonard not playing tonight. Even though y'all just won the second game without him playing. Game one you didn't have when you blew the Mavs out. Game four you won by 5, but you had them down 30-1 without Kawhi Leonard. That tells me the betting people, the odds makers, they don't trust you guys to continue to do what you've been doing. Me? Show them different. And the two games without Kawhi Leonard, Paul George and James Harden were going in. Matching Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Which sucks for Dallas because they don't have a third option. It's just them two. If you're the Clippers, Terrence Mann, sure, he can do some things, you know. Zubac, sure, he can do some things. He got Norman Powell off the bench, who's like one of the best six men to come off the bench. You're a deeper team. You're the more talented team. Act like it. Or else Luka Doncic will do what he's known for doing and clipping you guys. I'm just saying, handling your business, please. Now, there's tonight's games. Tomorrow got a couple of games, but we're going to go back to what happened yesterday. And Tuesday's playoff action. We had three games on deck. Magic, Cavs, 76ers, Knicks, Pacers, Bucks. Let's jump into it. The land in Cleveland, Ohio, when the Cavaliers are finally back home after getting their ass whooped twice in Orlando. Trying to figure out what the hell happened when we went to Disney World. Yeah, you went to Disney World and got your ass smacked. That's what happened.
I was over there drinking them Harry Potter meads instead of worrying about this game.
So, yeah, remember the series I said I'm going to throw out there what my partner said. So far, whoever had a lead in this series, they was winning. Because all four games were double-digit wins until last night, where the Cavaliers survived at home 104-103. This has been the most closest game of this series, and it has to be game 5. And what former players like Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, and all the other NBA analysts on ESPN says, once you get past game 4, forget the game plan. It's just who wants it more. That's where we at. Who wants it more? And last night, Cleveland wanted more, especially Evan Mobley. Don't look at the 14 points, the 13 rebounds. Don't look at that. That man had the key block on Franz Wagner to seal the deal for the Cleveland Cavaliers. By the way, speaking of that, Franz, I know you're the professional, and I'm just like an analyst, okay? But I did play basketball in high school. All right, cool. I got my high school jersey in a frame, you know, for seeing night. Okay. If you're driving to the left side, right, ain't you supposed to lay it up with your left hand, not your right hand?
That would be ideal, yes. That's what I was taught.
Friends, why would you land it up with your right hand? That's how Mobley blocked the shot.
He must have not been confident in his left hand at that particular moment.
Put the game on the line.
Hey, amen. Must have not been confident. That's all. I mean, that's really all you can figure out. He must have not been confident. You know what I'm saying? It was a bad move. Don't get me wrong. The only way that really works is if you're attacking the goal and you're laying it up hard off of the backboard. But the way he tried to do it, that was not going to work from the left side.
That was the game. Instead of us being up 3-2, Cleveland is up 3-2.
But you know what, though, playmaker? You know what, though? That's all right. Mistakes happen. You learn. You learn it. You know what's going to happen in game six? Cleveland's going to lose. That's what's going to happen in game six.
I don't know. The problem is we got to go back up to Cleveland for a game six.
Now, Orlando's back is against the wall. So now you get, we got to win Orlando, right? Because these young, one thing about young teams is inconsistency. I didn't expect Orlando to go out there and win this game in five or six games. I said to you, Orlando in seven. The reason being, I was understood it was going to take Orlando seven games to grow up and win this series. Cleveland had a solid game, right? Mitchell had, 28, I think, or something like that.
28 and 6.
Garland had, 23. So their top two guys did what they were supposed to do. Paolo had to go out there and drop, 39. The guards got to give him more help. They got to put pressure on the guards of Cleveland. They have to make them play on defense as well. The games that Orlando has made them play on defense as well, that's the games that Orlando have had a better chance in. Mitchell and Garland are not guys I would look at and say, these are our main defenders, our best defensive players. So when you make them work and do something that they don't really want to do, it takes away what they can do on the other side. Orlando's still going to win the series. They just put themselves in a bad hole, in my opinion. And if I'm wrong, it is what it is, but I think they're going to still do, take care of business.
Gary Harrison, you're my veteran leader on the team. And what team did you come from, by the way, even though you didn't win the championship with them?
Well, sir.
Your last came from Denver.
One of the reasons that you got him and we got who we got was because we needed a guy who could do what he's doing. And that's Big AG. He was part of that trade.
Why is you only took three shots. One, that's a problem for me. You only took three shots in 19.
Oh, completely problematic. That's why I'm saying the guards got to push the guards from the other team.
You're around here looking like D'Angelo Russell. And I don't need no Lakers looking like on Orlando.
Facts. Facts. Oh, facts on facts on that one, player.
So if you're not going to show up for me, can we put Markel Fultz in there? Because I'm pretty sure Markel Fultz want to get some playoff action.
You make a good point.
And ever since he came to Orlando, have you been hearing anything about Markel Fultz? Like you was hearing about when he was in Philly? No, you haven't. You know why? He comes in, he plays ball, he goes home. So can we do something? Jamal, I mean, game six. Let's do or die. Which actually, if it don't go the way that I want to go in game six, that I actually make my prediction correct because I did say Cleveland in six.
Do you want to be correct on your prediction or do you want to go to the next round?
I want to be wrong as hell.
Okay.
But I'm just throwing it out there. I did say Cleveland in six, so this is what happens when you be a realist fan and not a fanatic.
I'm not a fan. Like I said, I look at these two teams. Cleveland has more names. Cleveland has more guys that you know, guys like Evan Mobley, Garland Mitchell, you know, Max Strauss, Struce, people like that. Okay, you know some of those names better, and that's cool. But when you look at Orlando, you got really three point guards, you know what I'm saying, that should be getting minutes. One guy's not playing, and they're interchangeable. They can play the one or the two. So, you know, you got to look at it and say, all right, some guys are not giving us what they need this particular time, this particular game. There's nothing wrong with saying, let's move and see if another guy can give us a little bit more. And coaches have to learn this, right? I see this all the time in the NBA. I'm like, man, if you just took that dude off for like 5 or 10 minutes and put somebody else in, you know what I'm saying? Let them do their thing for a bit. Let him get his mind right. Let him see somebody else go out there and do what he's supposed to be doing. And then put him back out there. You're going to get a bunch of better game from him. But they don't want to do that. Maybe they're scared they're going to go to the owner and Giannis them. Like Giannis did. Giannis got old boy fired for trying to be like, hey, y'all ain't playing right. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make some changes to who playing when. They went to ownership and was like, nah, he got to get up out of here. So it might be a little bit of that too, though. Got to always look at that. Just saying.
So basically, after Harris only played 19 minutes, Markel Fultz played 15 minutes, gave me 7 points. As a matter of fact, he had hit all three of his shots. Cole Anthony, the son of Greg Anthony, played 12 minutes, gave me 2 points.
Yeah, all out school with Gary Harris.
Like, can my bench card get more minutes, please?
I feel it.
Please. I want to be wrong with my prediction. I want to be wrong. I kid you not.
I know you're not kidding.
But, you know. Shaq is confident in Orlando Magic. I should be confident in Orlando Magic. Shaq would say Orlando going to go down, going to go home, and they're going to handle business. He said it might go on. I might like to do the other 2 times they've been down there. He shall say. I want to keep the season rolling. And then the final game of last night takes us to that most famous arena of Madison Square Garden, where the New York Knicks were looking to close out the Philadelphia 76ers. And those of you who was listening to my brother Eric Wilson talking earlier, you know how this game went. Philadelphia 112, New York Knicks 106 in overtime. You know, this is a funny game. It was a very funny game. My man Tyrese Maxey, 46 points with 9 assists. Joel Embiid had a struggle game, but he gave you 19, 16, and 10. He gave you a triple-double in a struggle. That was a struggle game, he gave me a triple-double. I want this one y'all to take that in for me. The man struggled me, but he gave me a triple-double. And by the way, cool, guess who showed up for once? Guess who finally decided to show up for the series?
Oh, Toby Harris.
Finally decided to show up. What a perfect time to show up.
If you're going to show up, that was your last chance to show up, Blair. But I want to say this about the game. This is all I really want to say because I'm sure y'all already broke it down.
Oh, I mean, I ain't break it down. I just let my man do his thing before he had to go.
I just want to say this. The New York Giants, Knicks, because they're playing like those teams, blew that game. The Knicks screwed the Knicks, as Vince McMahon would say. You know why? All the Knicks had to do was make free throws, and this game doesn't even go into overtime, and they win. All the Knicks had to do was keep the lead with OJ Anunoby was getting a steal every other play and just slamming buckets. And what you do? Not that. You blew a 40-point performance from Jalen Brunson.
And he was part of the reason why.
Now, everybody want to blame the play. And while I get it, if he's not attacking the goal and attacking shooting as he was, they're not in this game. But I will agree, at that point in the game, you get the shot blocked, you just get it blocked and hope it go out of bounds and you reset. You can't go up in the air like you're going to shoot the ball and then throw to a ball to a guy who is no longer in position to receive the pass but sees you going up and is now trying to head to the basket to fight for a rebound. You know, like you have to understand, once you elevate off the ground, unless you see a guy that you can get that ball to that you know can get it, you just got to take that block. Take it. You know what I'm saying? Take the block, try to get a foul, keep it moving. What you can't do is make that pass in that situation. Your basketball IQ got to tell you better. But all that aside, what I want people to understand, and I know we say, oh, it never comes down to one play. Oh, it did. 2 free throws. Make the free throws. You make those 2 free throws, New York, and what happens? We don't have overtime. We have a 2-point New York win. Matter of fact, you made one of them. We got a 1-point New York win.
Series over.
Series over. But you choked. Missed them both.
6-point
lead. In prime time.
6-point lead with 28 seconds.
And you lost that.
And Josh Hart. Villanova.
You know why they lost that playmaker? I'm going to tell you why they lost it. Remember what I just said earlier? Oh, we have 6 points. There's 28 seconds left. We got this. No, you don't. You know what you got? And I wish we had it. A big, fat L. That's what you got.
28 seconds left, 6-point lead. Villanova, Josh Hart. Villanova! missed the front end of a one, missed the front end of the free throw. You want to compound it? Hey, Mitchell Robinson, what are you doing? What are you doing, Mitchell Robinson? Why are you even trying? 3-point basket from Tyrese Maxey plus the foul, which he made. You still up three? You still up three? Oh,
when he made that shot.
He pulled like,
up. Honestly, when they went to overtime, I'm like, the Knicks ain't gonna win this game.
Oh, he pulled up on the logo. Bling, tie game. We're going to overtime because Tyrese Maxey said, "I ain't trying to go to Cancun."
Yeah, when they went to overtime, I was like, "This is the Knicks L. This is L number two for the Knicks."
And then you did bring up Jalen Brunson having 40, right?
Yep.
Man took 10 damn shots in overtime.
Once they got to overtime, the Knicks was already discombobulated, man. Like, yeah. It's times where you have guys where it's like, all right, we go to overtime, we made this happen. But you even look at the shot distribution for this team, bro. You like, look at the shots. He had 32 shots. You know what I'm saying? Hart had 17. You know what I'm saying? Ananobi had 12. So you know that he's going to take a majority of the shots because that's what he does. That's what has to happen for them to be successful. The only difference between overtime and the rest of the game is what? He wasn't making them. But he's got to do that. Who else is going to do it? Look on that team. Who else is going to do that? That's why.
Like,
if you don't have Julius Randle, this is one of those times where it's like, well, it would have been good to have somebody else that could take the shots for that period of time. But for the game as a whole, it wouldn't have been because he don't really play much on. He don't do much on defensive end either.
I did bring up two Villanova. I might as well throw one in there. DiVincenzo, what happened to you? Where were you at? Now, from what I heard from Stephen A, trying to figure out there's something going on between DiVincenzo and, Coach Tiz, because over 50 minutes was played, and you only played 26 of it.
Well, the Negro Knight himself always likes to try to stir up controversy. It could have just been the coach felt like he wasn't playing well in a specific game. And for once, the coach said, hey, you're not playing well, so we're gonna pull him out. I mean, things like that can happen, Mr. Sass.
I mean, things can like that can happen, but when you need an offense, who's going to if you need another offensive player, DiVincenzo is like your best option here.
Not all the time. If he's not making the shots, he's not the best option.
I mean, you don't have Bogdanović no more. He's out for the rest of the playoffs.
Right, but I'm saying if he's not making the shots, he's not a great option.
So,
I mean, 3 for 10, 1 of 7 from three. I mean, we could talk about somebody having beef with the coach. If anything, you might be mad because the coach said, "Bro, you're not making the shots. You can come over here and relax for a little bit. We're gonna go another route."
I'm just saying, y'all let Philly get back home for a game six, and then the doctor himself, Julius Erdman, went to Twitter. Oh, he don't call it out Philly, so you know Philly finna show up in bunches for game six.
That's New York's fault. As a team, that happened as a team. You know who you are. You know your identity. It didn't work out because you didn't finish the game. You had an opportunity before you got to overtime.
Speaking of opportunities, Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. Last game of last night's game. No Damian Lillard. No Giannis Antetokounmpo. Pacers should win. This series is done. Wrong. 115-92. So not only they didn't have Damian Lillard or Giannis, they didn't even let y'all get the 100. And y'all are the fastest scoring team in the league. How does a team without two of their stars shut you down and beat your ass the way Milwaukee did in Indiana? 115-92. Can't make this stuff up. Bobby Portis 29-10. Chris Middleton 29-12. You got 18 from Malik Beasley. And then you look at the Indiana side. That's ICP.
You got to talk about that 13 points from Pat Bevers, like 25 from another point guard.
I mean, 13 and 12. He had 12 assists, too. So he was also doing dimes out there, too.
13 points. That's a super bonus for Milwaukee.
I'm glad you brought that up because Spicy P, 12 points. Miles Turner, 13 points. Halliburton, 16 points. Well, Halliburton been struggling all damn series.
Mm-hmm. That D is real. They give them that D. No Diddy, but that D.
You see what happens when you're for a team that's optional for defense and a team that can play defense? You get ass whoopings like this. Now, even though Indiana's still leading the series, a little door has been opened. Word is going around that there's a possibility that both Damian Lillard and Giannis come back for game six. That don't bode well for Indiana.
Well, two, man, all props to Milwaukee for this game. Like, straight up, like, I gave them no chance in this game. I said, you ain't got Giannis. You ain't got Dame. You coming off of L. I gave them no chance in this game. And they proved me wrong, and I'm glad they proved me wrong. As I – the first quarter of the game, what, Indiana had like 30, 31 points or something? So you had 31 after the first quarter. You still didn't get
31. 20. Indiana 31, Milwaukee Bucks 23.
And you was up at the end of the first quarter. After that, Milwaukee was like, F this. We taking over.
I'll show you to you. So after that 31-23 first quarter, 37-17 second quarter, came right after halftime, 34-19.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You go out, you got the lead. This is typical of what I've been talking about. This is the theme of the games. It's typical for what I've been talking about. What I've been talking about. You go out, you get a lead, you don't put your foot on their throat. You go out, you got them 31-23 after the first quarter. What you do? Oh, we got this. They ain't got their players. We got this. You ain't got it. Spit. Milwaukee came out after the first quarter and put their foot on your throat because you didn't. And like I said, teams come out and play like Milwaukee played in this game for complete playoffs. I don't care who they are. They're winning a championship. And in this NBA today, that's how you win a championship. You outdog the other team. You had the right mentality. You say, I don't give a cluck what happened. We whooping y'all yes all series, period. You're going to win it because the other team is not mentally prepared for that. They're going to come out thinking they get a little lead, stuff sweet, spit sweet, and they can play how they want. That you done gave up because they would give up if they in that situation. Everybody ain't built that way. Some people built like Milwaukee this game, but not enough.
So that game will be heading back to Indiana with another chance for the Pacers to finally close out a series. I don't think they close out a series. I don't even know. I think they said like 5 years or five playoff appearances. They haven't closed out a playoff series. Which means they haven't gotten out the first round in their last five playoff appearances. You got another chance. And that chance will be tomorrow. 6:30. In what is known as the Basketball Lab House in Indianapolis. Your home. It's possible that Dame and Young's both play. I don't like the chances. Because you're talking about both of them dealing with what? One dealing with a calf, another dealing with an Achilles. Mm-hmm. When I hear those two, I feel some type of way.
It's going to be hard for those guys without at least one of those guys on the floor or both of those guys in limited minutes to put up enough offense again, I think, to beat Indiana at home in Indiana. Now, I think if you get through game six and say – they both can't play or they both can't be 100% for game seven. Back in Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee can take the series. But this is the game Milwaukee's got to find a way to win if they want to win this series. I don't know if they can do it because they put themselves in, again, too much of a hole. But they did show some life. Maybe that's enough to make them boys be like, oh, we got to go out and try to overdo it, over-pursue, overplay, overshoot, over just everything. and be too stiff. And then Milwaukee's like, we ain't got nothing to lose. Everybody think we already should be out. So we'll see how it go.
And plus, everybody's waiting to kill Doc Rivers for whatever reason.
Yeah. So if they want Doc Rivers back, if Giannis and whoever else is going to be there next year, because I won't say Dame going to be there next year. If Giannis and whoever going to be there next year won't Doc back, you got to find a way to win this series. Because if he don't win this series, my boy ain't going to be back next year.
I think he'll be back.
He should be. You can't win a playoff series against a six seed, bro.
I mean, a man came in after the All-Star
break. The man was the mentor for the coach that got fired. He'd been with his team the whole season. He just was behind the scenes, helping him create. That's how he got his foot in the door to get the job.
I think he'll be back next year.
He may be, but he shouldn't be. If he can't win a playoff series, he shouldn't be back.
And plus Tyrese Halliburton, we got the Indiana Sissy because Tyrese Halliburton missed like 30 games. Okay. And then the nightcap for tomorrow, the Knicks got to travel back to Wells Fargo Center, the city of brotherly love, which my partner here knows very well, being an Eagles fan and taking trips to Philly. And Dr. J, I said it earlier, Dr. J put the call out. I'm expecting Philly fans to be in attendance of abundance tomorrow night, 9 p.m. on TNT. Can the Knicks walk in and say, damn it, I had enough. This is done here and now. Because if it goes back to Madison Square Garden for game 7. And plus, the 76ers already proved they can win there too. Yeah.
This is closeout time for the Knicks right here. This is closeout time. This is we screwed up. We clucked up in game 5. It's time to go and get it now. Time to stop playing. We done had the bad game. We done made the mistakes. We got to do what we got to do. Now, I will say this. Philadelphia win this game 6. That game 7 going to be juicier than a pack of juicy fruit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be juicier than a gallon of water. But New York needed to take care of business tomorrow night.
So you're saying New York got to. Even though game 7 is in Madison Square Garden, we all know Madison Square Garden is like...
And the Knicks... We just talked about it. I just talked about it a few minutes ago. They don't have a full contingent of guys that can go out and bombard the other team in a game 7. You know what I'm saying? And that's even if they have Julius Randle. But without him, it's even worse. Like, scoring is always going to be an issue for New York. So you got to go down here. You got to grind. You got to dog them out. You got to hope Josh Hart hitting his shots. You got to hope that DiVincenzo was hitting his shots. You know what I'm saying? You need a lot from a lot of guys to be successful just because the one area that they have to improve in the Knicks in the offseason is getting more scoring onto that team. And I get they lost Bogdanovich and some other people. I understand that. It's all good. But you still got to make it happen. That's what it is.
All right. Before I get out of here some today, my boy Koo went here earlier, but I know he falls in WNBA like I do. So I want to get his thoughts when this news broke that the real CP3 in his case and a lot of other people's case decided to hang it up. Candace Parker retires.
Now, I remember growing up
watching I'm going to set you up. Yet again, show y'all her accomplishments. So y'all can see one more time. 3-time champion. MVP. Finals MVP. Olympic gold medalist. National champion, all of it. First ballot Hall of Famer, it's no questions asked. All right? So as we get ready to close out, I'm going to make my man Cool McCain talk about the one and only Candace Parker.
I remember growing up watching Candace Parker. Always had a big crush on Candace Parker and loved the game. So I always felt like conflicted when I watched him. I was like, man, she's pretty, but at the same time, like, she can ball. And just watching her throughout the years, Tennessee, WNBA, the different places she was, LA, you know, Chicago, obviously Vegas. This is someone who's been a face of the league. This is someone who's been important to the WNBA, important to women's college basketball. First or second player, I can't remember which one, to dunk in the WNBA.
And Lisa Leslie was the
first. Yeah, Lisa Leslie was the first. And then in college, I think she was the – I know she was the first player in Tennessee. She's one of the first people to also dunk in college basketball in a game. So much that she brought to the game. Always carried herself very well, very intellectual. If you've watched her the last few years, you know what's about to happen. When the next season starts for NBA, we're going to see her up here on TNT, right? Because she's that good right now. She can break down a game. She can analyze the game. She's going to have the opportunity to spend more time with her family, the opportunity to go and spend more time coaching her daughter, up on her game and everything, and just enjoying life after retirement. But this won't be the last, I think, that we see of Candace Parker. And congratulations to her. Definitely will always be the real CP3 to me. The other dude is just it's just Chris Paul. And I hate to see it go, but it comes to time for everybody. No one can play the sport forever. And unlike some people, I'm not going to throw any names out there, but some people hang around until their skills deteriorate to the point where they can't be the same player. And they still think they're the same player. She's saying, you know what? I kind of start to feel it a little bit. And even though she signed another deal, she's like, nah, I'm going to just go ahead and retire. It's time for me to step away. I can respect that.
All right. Congratulations, CP3, on a fabulous career.
Absolutely.
And like my partner said, she's already killing on the analyst side. Not only talking NBA, but when it's March Madness time, did y'all listen to her break down these college basketball games? You know, she's on her way. She can do it. So, but hell of a career, hell of a job. So, with that being said, that's all I got for you on today. The Miami Heat and Boston Celtics should be tipping off right now over on TNT. Let's see if Boston will stop playing with their food and go ahead and get Miami up out of here, get this done over with. And then we'll see if either the Mavs or the Clippers want to take the critical 3-2 lead with two games to go. Until Friday, ladies and gentlemen. That's Cool McCain right there. By the way, be prepared on Monday.
And in the hour, just come on over to youtube.com/@EaglesElitePodcast. Let's talk Eagles draft, Eagles unrestricted, undrafted free agent signings, and all things Philadelphia Eagles. Because we're going to get that.
So y'all get over there in about an hour. Monday, full recap of the WWE draft.
And I got some thoughts on the draft.
By the way, even though I gave 20 Compass props for what he did showing up on NFL Network, but we got to ask, we ain't dive too much into it, but we have to ask a question. Did Tony Khan say something that he's going to regret? But we didn't really dive into it. Kyle too busy giving his props laughing because he actually showed up on TV with Netflix.
We were too busy laughing at him.
But did he actually say something? Did he do what AEW normally do? But this one on the bigger scale. We'll talk about that on Monday. After that, catch me Friday. We're going to recap tonight's game. We're going to recap Thursday's game. We're going to preview the weekend. Never know. You might see Cool again because, you know, his Nuggets play on Saturday.
You never know.
You might get a cold chance. You know, you don't know who's going to join me on Friday. But until then, enjoy these games. Let's continue to have some great playoff games. And I'll catch y'all Friday. Deuces.
You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever sinned? ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.